You're connected to NPR's All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. It's time to put together your best of 2005 list. There's some obvious contenders. Maybe it's from Spoon's CD, Gimme Fiction.
I turned my camera on. I cut my fingers on the way.
Or maybe it's Death Cab for Cutie's first major label release, Call Plans. Over the year, All Songs Considered has featured hundreds of songs, some well-known, some obscure, and many that may make your best of list, but we know we didn't get them all. So we asked three people to listen to more CDs in a week that many of us have in their collection to put together a list of the most underrated CDs, CDs that perhaps should be considered for the year's best, and with me, at least electronically, first in New York City, at our NPR Bureau, is Will Hermes.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Will. And Will Hermes is the senior contributing writer to Spin magazine. He also writes for All Things Considered. In Philadelphia, at NPR's member station WHYY, is Tom Moon. Hey, Tom.
Hello.
Tom writes about music for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and he's taken a year off to write a book. How's the book coming, Tom?
It's been a lot of fun.
And what's
a lot
it called?
A 1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die.
Better get it out quick.
I know. I hope I live it long enough to see it finished.
And Tom Moon also writes music reviews for NPR's All Things Considered. And someone I've never met before is in Los Angeles, Kate Sullivan. And Kate's the music editor for LA Weekly. Hey, Kate.
Hello.
She's talking from her living room in Echo Park in Los Angeles. So tell me who has absolutely the most underrated CD.
You know, considering how many CDs come out in a year that nobody hears. It's a tough competition.
Well, I heard Tom laugh first, so.
Well, the one that Tom, I think that I would hope that just people who love music would hear, and it's completely different from most of what's out there, is this record of duets by Ali Farkatore, the blues guitarist from Mali, and the kora player Tumani Diabati.
Yeah.
And a kora is an African harp. It's a long neck thing that
21 strings, and it's crazily intricate. When it's played, the guy who's playing it, Tumani, will look like he's a spider with a bunch of different legs just splayed all over the strings. It's amazing to watch.
And Ali Farkatore writes music and plays music that sounds like it could come from the South in the U.S.,
he has a lot of the Delta in him. He's recorded some records that are really blues-oriented, like The River. This is more contemplative than that.
It's a beautiful CD, mostly instrumental CD. You want to pick a cut, or shall we?
Oh, you guys.
Okay. Let's play a song called Kayla. Such a beautiful blend of the guitar and the kora. The whole album has this beautiful dream feel to it, doesn't it?
It was recorded in a conference room at the Hotel Mandé in Mali, and it was actually 3 days worth of recording sessions yielded three different albums. This is the first of three that we'll have. The next one's an Ali Farkatore record, and then there's also a Tumani Diabate record, both coming next year.
And they both have a wealth of CDs out.
Yeah, this is as good as I think anything that either of them has done. It's definitely a good introduction to both artists. And it's really been a remarkably great year for African pop music across the continent. I think it's worth noting. I mean, there were records that came out this year. Amadou and Mariam are a group, I believe, from
Mali.
The Ivory Coast.
Are they from Mali, or are they? I know they lived for a while in the Ivory Coast, but they put out a great record this year. Konono Number One are a group who played here in New York. Surprisingly, they're from Kinshasa.
Yeah, I just saw them last night in Philly. They were tremendous, crazy good live. Even if the megaphones are only a prop when they play live,
is that right? So when they, this is a band that takes. You know, they say used parts from junkyards and so forth, Konono Number One, and they make incredible music. So when they did that live, they didn't...
They sang into microphones, and then they had two of the huge voice throwers on mic stands, but they were not connected to anything.
Yeah, you can hear these huge public address horns is basically what they were, kind of salvaged from the 60s or the 70s. But apparently they did work early on in the tour, but it was tough to find a repair service, I guess, on the road for 1960s
I thought they traveled
public
with a mechanic.
Address speaker systems.
If you want to hear Konono Number One, they're... They're on the All Songs Considered website on a previous show. Kate, what do you have to add to the mix here?
Well, the first thing I wanted to talk about, maybe just for the sake of contrast, is So Jealous by Tegan and Sarah.
No, they're great. They're sisters from Canada.
They have awesome Jane Fonda Hanoi Jane haircut.
Very, very clute.
Yes. And they started out, they're lesbian, and they started out in the sort of like women's music folk scene in Canada. And they somehow, this is their, I think, fourth full-length record. Like somehow on this record, they realized their true identity, and they like came out of the closet as like pop musicians. They created this album like in their houses on a four-track and recorded it in a studio. It feels like a record that was made for top 40 radio. Like the pop song craft is so tight and solid. Their harmonies are just bubblegummy and delicious.
And they love hooks.
And they're so hooky. It's incredible. And one time I was listening to Ryan Seacrest's American Top 40, and he, I kid you not, like he played Walking with the Ghost. It was some feature where they pick a song that they think is pick to click.
That is a great song.
Well, let's listen to Walking with a Ghost. It's from a CD called So Jealous. It's Tegan and Sarah, and let's hear a bit.
No matter which way you go, no matter which way you stay, you're out of my mind, out of my mind.
Good song. I listened to this this morning, and it's been stuck in my head. That's what they do. Also, they make these songs that stick in your head.
They did some work on this record with another Canadian, the guy from the New Pornographers, didn't they?
Well, I know for sure that Matt Sharp, originally of Weezer, did the keyboards, the sort of new wavy keyboards on the record, and.
Okay.
The most interesting news update you guys have probably heard is the White Stripes covered Walking with a Ghost.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's
out. Do they segue it into the song Little Ghost from their album?
Well, clearly, like, they're both obsessed with ghosts this year. It's they're putting it out as some kind of an addendum to their last record. And it's, I have to say, like, it only shows how good the original is, because it's really not that great.
Is there a trend that any of you see in some of the pop music that's come out this year? Think about, I played earlier, the Death Cab for Cutie, the Spoon record, the Not a Surf record, Tegan and Sarah. I keep hearing a smoother and smoother sound in some of the pop, and some of the rough edges of some of the indie bands kind of getting scraped away. Anyone else hearing that?
Yeah, I think there's just a real trend towards people making very
beautiful sounding music that makes you feel really good. And these are kind of harsh times, and maybe that's the facile analysis of it. But
there is
but
a lot of craft, though. I think people have gotten better at, as Kate said, making records in their basements and living rooms that sound like pop records. And it's now possible to do technology-wise, a lot easier. Another example of that is Leslie Feist, who goes just by Feist and was and maybe is a part of Broken Social Scenes. She had a record this year that was gorgeous like that and very, very round and very sort of moody.
Right, another Canadian, too,
yeah,
along
that's
with the group Stars, who are another spin-off from the Broken Social Scene, who put out one of my favorite.
Oh, that is a great record. And the Broken Social Scene record is completely the opposite of that smooth, clean record. In fact, I've listened to it a half dozen times, and I still, every time I hear the record, I think that, that song wasn't on that album. I didn't hear that the last time. And it's such a complex, wonderful record, the Broken Social Scene record. Let's hear something from Leslie Feist. You have a pick for us?
Well, she does a cover of the Ron Sexsmith song called Secret Heart that I just love.
Good. Well, let's listen to Leslie Feist, who also sings on the Broken Social Scene record. The CD's called Let It Die. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Secret heart, what are you made of? What are you so afraid of? Could it be three simple words? All the fear of being overheard, what's wrong? Little man on your secret heart. Secret heart. Why so mysterious? Why so sacred? Why so serious? Maybe you're just acting tough. Or maybe you're just not mad enough.
Leslie Feist, born in Calgary, probably in the mid-70s, I think.
So good.
Yeah, it is pretty.
She has been touring a lot in the past year, and while recently she's had the resources to put together a band, even when she's traveling with a band, she does a good part of the show solo. And it's remarkable because she's playing guitar, but she has a whole array of pedals in which she loops her voice and loops guitar lines and can build up, sort of like Joseph Arthur.
Yeah, I was just going to say, sounds
well.
Like Joseph Arthur.
Yeah, builds up these real symphonies of loops, kind of originating everything live on the fly, and it's pretty impressive to watch.
Is she sort of harmonizing with herself?
Yeah, absolutely, with two or three or four of herself when she really gets going.
That's great.
Memory is cheap these days, as they say in the computer business.
What else have you been listening to, Will? You've heard a lot of CDs. I'm sure many of us haven't heard.
Well, you know, it's been a busy year, and I was going through hip-hop releases. It was a pretty great year for commercial hip-hop. I mean, not just the usual array of singles, although there were incredible singles, a lot of them coming from Houston, which has this particular sound of the moment, which is generally sort of slowed down, and it owes a lot to this one producer known as DJ Screw, who's no longer alive, but it's a very slowed-down, bluesy kind of hip-hop groove. More thoughtful, or at least dealing with issues that are a little bit more complex. It's been the independent hip-hop world, and a record came out by the Perceptionists, which is a crew that centers around a guy named Mr. Liff, who has always put out very smart records. Well, Black Dialogue is the name of their record, and I thought it struck a really great balance between songs that would just really sound great banging over a loud club system.
We have queued up the cut, the title cut for the record, so let's give it a listen.
This is a discussion of a language, but many white Americans, as well as some blacks, attach a stigma to the black way of talking.
Yeah. It was written in the books of Europeans, we were savage, that our history was insignificant and minds below average.
But how could one diminish the worth of the most imitated culture on this earth? Fast forward to 2000 and now, you see it everywhere you look. Speech, music, fashion, and style, it's black dialogue. Go ahead, kid, try it on. It's much harder to master than precision with firearms. Corny niggas switch it up and rent it to Viacom. But it was taught to me early on by my mom. Master yourself for maximum outreach potential. Respect that you get from that will grow exponential. Preferential treatment brings us heat when it only goes to those who rock the diamonds and sequins. They invite the kiddies to
Blackalicious. No, wrong band. The Perceptionists. CD's called Black Dialogue.
The Perceptionists record is out on the Definitive Jux label, which is run by a producer named LP. It's a label that's always always worth checking out.
So, Kate Sullivan, you picked a Tegan and Sara record earlier, a good pop record. Pop seems to be something that you dearly love. And on your list, there was a song by a group called Giant Drag. Tell us about Giant Drag.
Well, I didn't realize this when I was picking them, but not only are these both sort of girl groups, but they're also two people groups, which seems to be a fad right now. They're from L.A., and they are kind of a throwback to the days of Liz Phair and Nirvana.
In what way?
Well, they don't really fit in the momentary zeitgeist of the kind of, you know, post-punk disco new wave thing that's so big right now.
Thank you, Franz Ferdinand.
Yes.
Yeah, they completely stand in opposition to that entire movement. They hate that music.
Not danceable music, does Giant Drag make?
It's not danceable, but it's also not serious. I mean, that's one other thing I love about Giant Drag is that it is a female songwriter and front woman, but she has... This is going to sound horribly sexist, but it's coming from a girl, so it's okay. she has, like, a masculine sense of humor. And a kind of androgyny.
So what sort of subject matter does she deal with?
Well, it's mostly torch songs, love songs, breakup songs, and all that stuff definitely feels feminine and, you know, diaristic and all that stuff. But there's this wonderful wall of sound that they create somehow backing her up, and her guitar is really beautiful, and it's different. It's just, I don't know how to explain it, but
well, let's listen to it. And tell me her name again, because I've already forgotten.
Her name is Annie Hardy.
Okay. So is Annie Hardy playing the biggest part on the guitar as well as singing here?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So there's a song on the CD with the title called Kevin is Gay.
Yeah.
Let's pick it. It's by Giant Drag. The CD's called?
Hearts and Unicorns.
Great.
Rugen. For Rugen.
Giant Drag. So does the whole CD have a feel like that? What sort of range do they have?
Yeah, it does have a feel like that.
Yeah, the guitar sounds great.
Yeah, and they layer so many harmonies, and it feels spiritually somehow right that she comes from Orange County, she comes from a beach town, yet she didn't grow up rich at all. She grew up, her dad works at a gas station, you know? And the music has a subtle kind of Beach Boys influence to it.
Now, this wall of sound I heard in a cut that Tom sent my way, it's a group called Pelican that I've never heard of. Tom, tell me about Pelican and their CD, The Fire in Our Throats Will Beckon the Thaw.
Yeah, it is a wall of sound. It's sort of a different wall. They call themselves a metal band, and I guess they are, and they're all instrumental. But their idea of metal is not like, you know, sort of hard-hammering prog metal all the time. There's a lot of... very lucid kind of guitar playing. There's a lot of ambient sort of sound that goes on in the background, and it's
kind of like if Brian Eno did heavy metal music.
Yeah, the contrast between those sort of moments where it's really, you know, slamming, and then moments when there's some reflection is tremendous. It's very riveting. They figured out something, the sort of wallop of metal and the drama of it. And then just took that and expanded the palette quite a bit.
Right, and left out the dumb lyrics.
Yeah, exactly. It makes you realize how stupid metal lyrics really are when you hear something like this with no lyrics and you don't miss it.
Well, I'd like to hear a bit. There's the cut takes a while to build, called Autumn into Winter, and somewhere about 4 minutes in, it creates that wall of sound you talk about. So I'm going to do that. Let's hear a little bit of Pelican. Now, you've heard that. I just want to play just for a few seconds so people get a better idea of the range of this group, Pelican. Just the beginning of that cut. Maybe I should have done that first. Just the beginning of the cut. And that slow build up to the part that we just heard. An interesting band.
Tom, am I here? A major Smashing Pumpkins vibe there.
Yeah, well, the slow part.
They always
like,
had a metal thing going on.
Yeah, the slow part, and they are from Chicago, so maybe not so far fetched. But the slow parts remind me of some of the great, like, later David Gilmour, Pink Floyd moments. And then, you know, anything from the Pumpkins to, I don't know, you know, something more trancey even.
Yeah, it's interesting how the Pumpkins and Pink Floyd, I think, are pretty influential among metal bands these days, especially as kind of progressive rock.
You heard it in the Mars Volta record this year,
yeah,
too.
Totally.
Yeah, Coheed and Cambria also are a prog band who definitely have a Pink Floyd influence on some of their stuff.
Well, speaking of Pink, who the heck is Ariel Pink's Haunted Graffiti?
That guy is he's a Californian, isn't he, Kate? Do you know anything about him?
He's from Beverly Hills, 90210, from the OC to 90210. He's the most underrated and perhaps the most overrated artist of 05.
Are you gonna play the song Waiting for Kate?
No.
For Kate I Wait.
For Kate I Wait, thank you. I stand corrected.
No, but thanks for mentioning it. basically, he's this guy who grew up in Beverly Hills, and I don't really know about his psychiatric history, but...
we're learning, I take it.
I do know just from... He records at home, and you can hear what he's reaching for, which is something grandiose and very mainstream, but with his limited abilities and his limited technology, what it comes off like is, it sounds like the most precious music I know, which is the music that my friends made in college on their four tracks.
Huh. Well, I've never heard it, so let's listen to it's the CD's called Worn Copy, and this is Jules Lost His Jewels.
I knew that he was a tiger right from the start.
Okay, where is that? There's some nugget in that song that I've heard before. It's in the cowbells and the percussion. I was thinking of the Seeds, the group The Seeds.
Mm. Well, that's like the endless pleasure and frustration of listening to his music, is that you swear you've heard it before, you have no idea where.
Oh, great. Well, I'm feeling it.
Totally a garage sound. He's kind of friendly with the Animal Collective guys, I think, who have a record that I would have picked as one of the great records people haven't heard. But shockingly, as weird as the Animal Collective record is, it's gotten a lot of press and doesn't make it any less good. But people are actually getting to hear him.
Yeah, they actually put out Ariel Pink's first two records. Actually, all of his records.
Oh, right, on their label. What, Portracks?
Yeah. He has another one coming out in January. So
having heard all this and knowing what you've heard all year long, is anybody putting their list together for the best CDs of the year? And anybody have some inklings of what we might get from your top lists? Start with Tom. You got one or two that are hanging right there at the top.
Oh, boy.
Ah, come on, Tom.
I think that Ali Farkatori Tumani Diabate record is something that stuck with me a lot this year. And, if I had to make my list today, that'd be on it.
Huh. And Will?
Yeah, I'd have to concur with Tom on that. I mentioned the Animal Collective, which is definitely going to wind up on my best of list.
Boy, those are two opposite end of the spectrum records, aren't they?
We live a strange life. But a record we didn't get to listen to today is by the Go Team, who are
that is a fun, crazy record. It was on the last All Songs Considered. You can go hear that.
Excellent.
From everything from, well, we described it as Hawaii 5-0 meets Cheerleaders, action hero music.
A little Vince Guaraldi and Sonic Youth and Burt Bacharach thrown in there.
That's a great record. Kate Sullivan, do you for the LA Weekly put together a year-end list?
Well, I don't know, because I got my job in February of 2005.
Okay. So
we'll probably put together a bunch of opinionated lists from different writers. Interestingly, we are putting Ariel Pink and Giant Drag both on the cover in a week.
Excellent.
And
is there something you've listened to all year long that you just can't get rid of, that you just love?
I'm in the minority here, but I really liked Missy Elliott's record.
Mm. The whole thing?
Yeah, I actually like what?
I think there are three great songs on there, but I couldn't listen to the whole thing. I'm surprised by that. I want to hear why.
That's usually my problem with her records, is that there's like only three good songs. But this record, I felt the filler was better than her average filler. besides Missy, okay, I'm going to sound like a complete snobby jerk, but my favorite record of the year isn't out yet in America.
Which is?
That's fair.
Which is Art Brut.
Yeah.
And very quickly, Art Brut is?
I don't know much about them. I know they're from England, and they're amazing, and they're the best thing since Generation X. But beyond that,
wow. Okay.
Will probably knows.
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, they're a rock band. They played a few shows in the States a few weeks ago, which I didn't catch, but people were raving about them. They're very, very funny, kind of a self-aware rock band.
We've done an awful lot of music, a lot of which came from bedrooms and home studios, a lot of obscure stuff. But there's one thing on this list of things that folks sent me. It's the complete opposite end of the spectrum, and Will brought it to the table. So, Will, tell us about Trio Medieval.
Well, the Trio Medieval do old school music, you could say.
older than Beach Boy harmonies, right?
Yes, 12th century, 13th century, 14th century harmonies.
Not in their home studio.
Right. Produced by the folks at ECM, who always make beautiful, beautiful sounding records. And I just have always responded to vocal music from that era. And there is a trend now, because it was mostly all sung by male vocal groups, towards groups with women in them, vocal groups. Anonymous Four was the first group to sort of break through doing that. And Trio Medieval are a Scandinavian group. One thing that's exciting about the record is that they're not doing just old material, but there are new works being composed in this style. And I want to play a little bit from a piece by Sun Yi Hong.
The CD is out. It's by Trio Medieval. It's called Stella.
Yeah. Stella Maris.
Thank you, Will Hermes, in New York City. Thank you,
Always
Tom Moon,
a pleasure.
In Philadelphia.
Thanks.
And thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Kate Sullivan.
Thank you.
In your living room in Los Angeles. It's NPR's All Songs Considered.